praise today. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you, God. Help us today. We give you all the glory, God. We magnify your name, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Thankful to be in church one more time. Amen. Thankful for all God blesses us with, all God gives to us throughout the week. I'm thankful. I'm thankful to be in this place. I just sometimes I'll remember and think back to different times, whether it was different locations in Bakersfield, whatever, that, you know, it wasn't always just like this. It wasn't always nice weather and a facility that was safe and secure. There were some times that coming to church was interesting, to say the least, but I'm thankful to have this place. I feel so blessed that God would bless us and give us a place that we can come to worship him together, a place that we know that he is in this house. I can tell you one thing, that God inhabits this place. What you feel when you come in here and you begin to just lift your hands and worship, that power, as Pastor was saying, and that feeling, that spirit, I don't want to ever take it for granted, because I will tell you, there's a lot of people today that are in church somewhere of varying religions, and they don't feel what we feel in here. They don't feel that power that changes lives and that heals bodies and that turns situations around. They don't feel that. They come to church and many, if not the vast majority, leave empty. They leave still searching for something, still longing for something. And you and I can sometimes take it for granted what we have in this place when we come in and we begin to feel his presence. And as the songs go forth, we begin to worship him, and you feel something different whenever God is in the house. And I don't ever want to take that for granted. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Put your Bibles down. Let's ask God to help us today. God, humbly I come before you. I ask, God, you would help me to give the word that you put in my heart. God, I pray, help somebody reach us, God. Open our minds and our hearts. I pray, help us to leave changed and different, God, inspired, I pray today. In Jesus' name, we give you all the glory. You may be seated. This message is put together differently than I probably normally would, and I would say that just follow with me, because I'm going to take a little bit of time to lay a foundation, but then come back to it in the beginning. But I just want to say that life is full of differences. It's not too often that you can look in your life and see 2 days that are exactly the same. You can be in the same place as you were the day before, with the same circumstances, and even have the same exact people that were there yesterday with you today. And because of that human element that we as people have, and because we have our own free will that God has given us, people, us, different people around can change the events and outcomes of a day. Very rarely does a day stay exactly the same. I was even thinking, even to people that I know that are incarcerated, and while it may seem that day would just be the same day after day being behind bars and really not having a lot to look forward to for a long time, can I tell you, even those days are different, because someone may cause a riot or the food may taste a little different today. My point being that there is always constant changes throughout our life. Constantly, days are different. But those factors are things that we can see and we can in some ways control certain factors of how our day goes. But when we pan out of this human element that we live in, there's something that supersedes all these other factors, all the people, all the circumstances, the places, whatever it is. There's something that is still in control above all of that. And even if you took all the factors I just mentioned and you aligned them perfectly and they were all perfectly in unity, there's still an omnipresent, omnipotent God that can alter and change any circumstance. I'm thankful to know that God. I'm thankful to know the God that doesn't just abide by our human confines, these boundaries that we put as humans, but He is able and more than able to control and move and change situations in our life outside of our will, outside of just the finite boundaries that we have. But changes in life are going to happen, whether we want them or not. Really, when you look at it, we're not in control of life at all. We're really not in control of the changes that life brings. And changes can produce fear, and they can produce feelings of concern or worry. Sometimes we look forward to changes. We can't wait for a change in life. Sometimes changes bring discomfort. But one thing is for sure, life is going to change. You cannot stay the same in life at any given point because life is going to change. There's a quote that I saw that the author's unknown, but it says, "Change is not made without inconvenience, even when going from worst to better." Even when you're on a path of betterness, on a path of happiness, on a path of moving forward in a better direction, it's still going to be inconvenient. It's still going to shake up some things. There's still some things that are going to have to change in order to reach that end place. If you would put on the screen Genesis chapter 11 and verse 27. I want to take a little bit of time here to lay a foundation about a very well-known Bible figure, the patriarch of the whole Jewish race, Abraham, which was Abram at this time. I want to just take some time to look through certain things in Abraham's life. Genesis chapter 11 verse 27 says, "Now these are the generations of Terah. Terah begat Abram, Nahor and Haran, and Haran begat Lot. And Haran died before his father Terah in the land of his nativity in Ur of the Chaldees." Jumping down to verse 31, it says, "And Terah took Abram his son, and Lot the son of Haran his son's son, and Sarai his daughter-in-law, and his son Abram's wife, and they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to the land of Canaan, and they came in unto Haran and dwelt there. And the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. Abram was raised in Ur, a land called Ur, and at this time he was moved, his family moved to a place called Haran in Canaan. And when you look at Ur, as you begin to study that, they were a very idolatrous city. They were a very bustling city that had lots of commerce and lots of things, but they also had lots of gods, lots of things that they prayed to. They had one main god that was based off of the moon, but there was many other gods that they worshipped, and it was a very idolatrous and pagan place to grow up. And that is where Abram was raised. The Bible is not clear exactly how much he was involved in idolatry or not. And it's not clear exactly where Abram ever got a connection with the one true God. But we do know that he knew about it somehow. Most likely, historians say that it was passed down through the generations. Because you see, back in that day, history was so important. And so even if I wasn't necessarily living for the one true God. I probably had heard about him because it was repeated through generation after generation about this God that had delivered them from different things in life. The flood was not that long before, and no doubt he had heard about the flood and how this God had wiped the face of the earth completely away, and there was just a small remnant of people and animals that were left, and how they started over. And so somewhere in all of this, Abram found the one true God. And we see here that Abram's father, he passes away here at Haran. And in the next chapter, Genesis 12, verse 1, it says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land I will shew thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." Abram, I know that your father just died, and I know you've already had to move once, and that you've kind of gotten settled here in Haran, but it's time to go. There is a change that is going to happen in your life if you will follow me. Change once again has visited you, Abram, and God is beginning to call him away from the place that he knew, away from the place where his family was, away from the influences of the gods and the idols that were still prevalent. Abram, it's time to go away from all of that. I'm bringing a change in your life. And it's a little inconvenient. I mean, it's not like today where we have nice RVs that have cargo trailers attached. And if you're going to move back east, you can, you know, at the very worst, rent a U-Haul and go and maybe stay in a hotel or a rest stop along the way. It wasn't like that. This was camels. This was donkeys. This was without comforts that we have. And to make matters worse, Abram doesn't even know where he's going. Abram doesn't have a destination that he can type into Google Maps or Waze or Apple Maps and be led and kind of have an idea when he's going to get there. Abram doesn't even know where he's going. God says, "Start walking and I will show you." How difficult to leave my friends, my family, the comforts, the security. I mean, think about the stability of when your family is all around you together. Think about the friends that you've made and the things that you've enjoyed in life. And all of a sudden, it's time to go. But look at what Abram did. In verse 4, it says, "So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran." Let me add, he wasn't young. He wasn't somebody that was just starting in life. Abram's 75 years old, and he's starting to make a journey through a desert place and over hills and mountains that is not an easy journey to make when you've got a lot of stuff and you're trying to do it by camel and donkey and whatever means of animals they had to get there. 75 years old, and it says he took Sarai's wife and Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and all the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth into the land of Canaan, and in the land of Canaan they came. That journey from Haran to Canaan, there's lots of speculation on how long exactly that was, but the average people say it's 400 to 650 miles. That's a long way to be walking and riding camels and donkeys with my stuff, and I don't even know where I'm going. I'm just moving. I'm just walking. And then you have some people that say, "Well, it was only 150 miles. Well, even 150 miles on foot with donkeys and camels in a hot, sweltering desert is not a trip that I am in a hurry to go make. But Abram, he's just following God. He's just listening to that voice that he heard that is pulling him away from everything he's known, everything that makes sense. No doubt he could have stayed in Haran and prospered in some form of commerce. He could have done some things and gotten a living and been around his family and his friends, but now he's a nomad. Now he's walking in a desert away from it all, just walking in a desert. And he starts dwelling in tents and moving wherever God leads. Genesis 12, verse 10 says, "And there was a famine in the land. And Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land." Now there's a famine. Now I'm in the desert walking, but now there's a famine. Now where I've stopped to rest for a while, there's a famine. There's no food. Things are tough. So now I'm forced to once again change and leave and go to Egypt. And a very short few verses later, we see that Abram's forced to leave even Egypt. Even Egypt, once again, it's time to move on. He's got to get out of Egypt. And so the next chapter, verse 1 says, "And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all he had, and Lot with him into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. And he went on his journeys from the south, even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and I." So he's just kind of walking. I mean, he's like, "Didn't we pass this place before? Isn't this where I was before?" "And unto the place of the altar which he had made there at first, and there Abram called on the name of the Lord." He remembered that altar that he had built to God before, and he gets there and he says, "It's time to take a moment. Let me just connect with God again. Out here in a desert place, change has happened. I'm away from everything I know. And now I thought I was going to be able to stay in Egypt a while, but now I've had to even leave that. And now I'm right back into a desert place." And he takes time. And it says, "And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. And the land was not able to bear them that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so they could not dwell together." There was so much stuff that Abraham had accumulated. God had blessed him on this desert journey. God had blessed and multiplied in this place, and Lot had been blessed to where now there's not even enough room where they're at to be able to contain everything that they have. And verse 7 says, "There was strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and Perizzite dwelled then in the land." And now he looks and he's at another crossroad, because now his nephew that has been with him so far through this journey has now got so much stuff, and he has so much stuff, that now there's another crossroads because they can't stay here. There's strife happening. There's starting to be fights and quarrels and problems. And so now we're at another place of change. We're at another place that it's time to move on. It's time to pick a different road. And so Abram tells Lot, he says, "Let there not be strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we're brethren. Is not this whole land before us? Separate thyself, I pray, from me. If thou will take the left, I'll go to the right. Or if you want the right, I'll take the left. But we've got to divide this, and we've got to make some changes here, because it's just not working how it is." And Abram says, "Lot, you go first. You pick whatever you want. If you want the left side, the right side, whatever it is, I'll just take the other." And the Bible says that Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord had destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. They're standing here looking over this valley and looking over this area, and there's this lush green, well-watered area over here. In fact, it reminds Abraham a little bit of Egypt that he just came out of, where everything is just plentiful, and Lot's standing there, and you would think that Lot, being the nephew and being having watched Abraham be blessed over and over, and having heard, no doubt, these promises that God's been giving Abram, and he knows Abram's following and talking to God, you would think that he would have said, no, you go first. You pick what's best. But he didn't. Lot looked, and his eyes lit up as he saw the green and the well-watered places that his cattle can get water from. And he looks over here, and there's this dry, barren area that he says, no, I want the green. I want the area that's got all the water. And so it says Lot chose all the plain of Jordan. And Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves one from the other. You think about that. Abram's just lost the person that was with him on his journey. He had already lost his family and friends, had to cut some ties, had to break away from it all. And now he's had Lot with him, and all Lot's whole in entirety of what he had is now separated in a way. It's another change in Abram's life. It's another change that he might not have counted on, but now is necessary and happening. And so Abram dwells in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwells in the cities of the plain. The Bible says in verse 12 that Lot pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. I just want to stop and say, it's not my message, it's not what I'm here to preach, but it's still important where we put our tent towards. It's still important the people that we try and associate with, that we want to live close to, that we want to do commerce with. It's still important where our tent is. It's still important the people that we surround ourselves with. You see, Sodom and Gomorrah was a very, very wicked city. It was something that the Lord he despised the wickedness that went on, the rampant homosexuality, the rampant sins and idolatry that was in that place. And Lot pitches his tent towards it. And what happens anytime that we start to say, well, it's probably not going to hurt us, and look at how big that city is, and look how many things are in that city that I could take part of. I'm not going to get mixed up in all the other stuff, but look how much there is. What happens is we start moving closer and closer and closer to the city. Till pretty soon, later on, you see Lot sitting in the very gate of that city. Lot has now went from his tents being pitched towards it to now he's in the very gate of it. And it has gotten a hold on him, and his daughters and his sons all live here now. It matters where we pitch our tents. It matters where we put our household. It matters what our house looks like. Because there's generations that it affects. It's not just us. It's not just us. There's generations that are affected by our decision on where we're going to live our lives. Or if we're going to let influences in, and we're going to let things in that aren't godly, that aren't profitable for us. It affects us, and it tears us down, but it affects our children and children's children. Hey, Lot's decision not only affected him, but he lost his wife when an angel mercifully pulled him out of there. His wife turned back, and his wife was gone. Then you see his daughters, they have incest with them, and it turns into a big mess because he got wrapped up in Sodom and Gomorrah. You don't see Abraham mixed up in that mess. You don't see Abraham's children in the place Lot's children were. Why? Because his tent wasn't toward Sodom. There is a difference when we put our tents towards the things of this world. I want to be careful what influences I let in my life, what things I listen to, the things that I open myself up to. You say, well, preacher, why don't you have a TV? I don't want that. I don't want to be opened up to that. I'm not saying that this isn't 10 times worse. It's probably 100 times worse. Our phones and everything we have, the internet. But can I tell you, when I have something passively just, I'm opening myself up and saying, Hollywood, all the homosexuality and all the perversion and all the things that aren't right, come on in, because because I'm opening myself up. And I'm not even preaching that. I'm just saying it's important. The books we read, the websites we visit, the things that the people we hang out with, it's important because sooner or later it can draw us into that place. Well, I look today, I say I would never be there. There's no way I would ever get to that place. Yes, there is. If I let down my guard and I start walking that way and pretty soon, if I just start looking into the city, I'm just looking. I'm not going to go there. And next thing you know, it's not going to hurt to buy a few things in here. And next thing you know, you're in the gates of the city. And an entire generation has been changed. An entire future has been changed because of a decision to put my tent too close to Sodom. And the Bible says that after Abraham and Lot had separated, the Lord said unto Abram, look up now with thine eyes and look from the place where you are, northward and southward and eastward and westward, and all that land that you see, I'm going to give it to you and your seed forever. And I'm going to make your seed as the dust of the earth, that if a man could count all the dust of the earth, that's how big your generations are going to be. Told him, walk through the length of it and the width of it, and I'll give it to you. And then in 18 it says, Abram removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. Abram's moved a lot. Abram's had a lot of changes happen in his life. He's went from some stability to now. It's just, he moves a lot. He's constantly in a new place. God's constantly taking him to a new place. And he gets here for a while and God moves him here. But every time you see blessings, every time Abraham continues to grow and get more blessings and more blessings with every change that comes. But if you notice, God gave Abram this promise after Lot had departed. Lot was with him when God gave him promises before, when God spoke to him before, Lot was there, but now Lot is separated. Lot's doing his own thing, and Abram now is back to just him and God in this conversation. And again, Abram has to move his tent, one change after another. It's a quote by Warren Wiersbe says, one thing about change has never changed. It still fascinates some people, frightens others, but always provides a good living for that prophetic minority. Those that are willing to change, those that are willing to be open to, if God wants to change something, to let him change. The prophecies, the promises that have been put forth, they happen. They reap them. They're blessed. It doesn't make sense. They have no stability. They have no nothing in life that they've put down roots. But it's because this is not our long-term home. I don't want my roots too deep here. Oh, yes, we have to live here. Yes, we have to work here. Yes, we have to be around here. But this is just temporary. I don't want to get too solid of a foundation here to where all of a sudden someday I miss when it's time to move. It's time to go to a different place called heaven. I don't want to get too comfortable here. I don't want to get too tied down here. And Abram has moved again. He's lived a life of change, one place to another place, over and over and over. Family has been separated from him. Many people have crossed his paths, some that were for him, some that were against him. But he's seen a lot, and every time he's seen God just bless him. And now Abram's getting older. He's reaching old age. You remember he was 75 when he started, but now he's getting older and he still hasn't received that promise that God gave him of you're going to have a generations after generations after generations come out of you from your seed. And so at 86 years old, he finally ends up with a child from his wife's handmaid, Hagar, and that's a whole nother story. And that child is named Ishmael. And the Bible says that when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared unto him and said, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be the father of many nations. Neither shall thy name be any more called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham. For a father of many nations I have made thee, and I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. 15 years later, God is speaking to Abram, confirming that promise again. 15 years since the last time that God had said that. He's now saying again, Abram, I'm going to bless you, and it's going to come from you. And Abram changes, or God changes Sarah's name, or Sarai's name to be Sarah. And he says in verse 16 of chapter 17, I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. I know you already have a son, Abraham, but I'm fixing to give you a son out of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she'll be a mother of nations, and kings of people shall be of her. Says Abram fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that's 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? Oh, God, that Ishmael might live before thee, saying, God, here's my son Ishmael, that you could bless him. And God says, by this, as for Ishmael, I've heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I'll make him a great nation. But my covenant, that promise that I gave you, that thing that you've been following, that you've heard me repeat a couple times, that is going to be with Isaac. And Sarah shall bear thee at this time, set time in the next year. It happened. Abram had a son in his old age. 100 years old, he has a son. And you see where the rest of his life, he continued to multiply and bless. He saw generations begin to happen. He lived a while after that. And you see where he saw his sons and his grandkids. And he saw all this happen. And he began to watch as God continued to multiply in his life over and over and over. And it all started with way back whenever God said, it's time for a change. You've got to get away from your family that's not living for me. You've got to get away from your situation and your influences and all those people that are not pleasing me. You've got to get away from them because I'm calling you out separately. And Abraham ended up living 175 years. It says he gave up the ghost and died in old age. An old man full of years was gathered to his people. I said all those verses, and I've said everything I've said to come to this point, because Abraham was willing to listen to the voice of God and allow God to change him. He was blessed. He was greatly blessed. And way back in the beginning when God said, Abraham, it's time to get away from your family and from your security that you have and from all this that you have. It's time to go away from all that. Abram had no idea of how blessed he was going to be. I don't believe that he saw the end picture that we can read today. We can look through this today and we see how blessed Abram was. We see how God had favor on him. We see what happened to Lot and to his relatives that turned away from God. We can see all that, but he didn't see all that. It was in blind faith that he trusted God and he just followed that voice. That voice of God that was telling him, you've got to get away from it. You say, well, I don't believe that it's God's will for me to have to get away from my family and my friends and my everything I know. It's where I feel security. Well, let me ask you, are they living for God? Are they a positive influence in your life? Because if they're not, there might be some changes that have to be made if you really want to be blessed. If in the end you want to reach the promise, you've got to make changes that sometimes go against our logic. Sometimes they go against our human way of thinking. But I can tell you that when we look at Abraham, I don't think he regretted those decisions. I don't think he regretted the changes he had been forced to make. And not all of them were forced. Some were. But some of them he had a choice. Some of them he had a choice to say, I'm going to follow this and change or not. But I don't think he regretted any of them. And because Abram followed God out of his homeland, it became a giant reset button for Abram. It changed his entire life. We look before and he was not where he was when he died. He did not have the things he had. He did not have the promises he had. He did not have the cattle and the silver and the gold that he had when he died way back there. That change that he made, that change that he was willing to make, became the biggest reset button in his entire life. He grew up, as I said before, in a culture of idol worship. He grew up in a much different environment than he died in. But God saw him and said, I'm going to pull you out of that idolatry and paganistic lifestyle. I'm going to pull you away from those people that are dragging you down. I'm going to pull you out of those circumstances that are going to take you down. I'm going to pull you out if you're willing to go, Abram. It changed everything he knew. As I get ready to close, it became a polar opposite lifestyle to how he grew up. How he grew up was family around, friends around. He had security, he had stability. He was in a city. He ended up moving from place to place to place. He ended up, in essence, losing a lot of things. But look at what he gained. Look how blessed he was. Can I tell somebody that circumstances, childhood, choices, whatever the case may be, have put us where we are today? All of us are standing in whatever part of life we're standing in, are here because of choices or circumstances that brought us to this place. But what I felt as I was studying for this and what has just burned in me is that God is, like he did Abram, trying to call somebody to a reset. He's trying to call somebody away from that lifestyle, away from the things that you know and that you maybe grew up around, the things that were the old way. He's trying to call you out of that. And he's saying, I've got a reset button. I don't know about you, but there's been many times in life I've been glad that I can hit a reset button. That I'm so glad that my life had to do a U-turn, that I had to make a change in life, because if I wouldn't have, where would I be? And I read that verse again that I started out with. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. There's changes that have to take place. When you become in Christ, old things have to go. The influences, the friends, family, hey, even family. There's some family that I love, but that I do not get too close to. They're mixed up big time in their thinking and in the things that they say that God doesn't, you know, God doesn't need expect you to do that, and you're wrong and on, and that the Bible doesn't really say that, or that the Bible isn't the truth. Can I tell you, those are people that I want some distance from. Those are people, you still love them, but you got to have distance. You got to have distance from the friends that say, no, you don't need to live like that. Come over here. Remember the good times. Remember how it was before. I want distance. Because when I'm in Christ, all those things have to go away, and now there's new. If you'd stand today, somebody, God is reaching. I'm just a mouthpiece, and I, at best, I don't feel like I could begin to convey this the way that God has dealt with me on. But there's somebody in this place that God is trying to bring some changes. He's trying to give you an opportunity to get away from that lifestyle. Get away from the things that you grew up in. Sometimes people have been trapped in this since their childhood. Sometimes since their childhood, they've been bound by the circumstances that they're in right now. But there's a God that changes all of that. There's a God that can pull you out of all of that. Paul said in Philippians, I count myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, I forget those things that are behind. I let them go. I don't carry them anymore. I walk away from them, and I begin to reach toward the things that are before. I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Can I tell you, the Holy Ghost is the only thing that's going to change your life. The only way I have ever seen that works for somebody to be delivered, somebody to be set free, someone to be able to make a U-turn, somebody to be able to hit the reset button is when the Holy Ghost comes in and begins to move and work in your life. Whenever you've repented of your sins and you say, God, I'm sorry, I don't want to go back to where I came from. And all of a sudden, you get baptized in his name and now he fills you with the Holy Ghost. Can I tell you, it gives you power to overcome. It gives you power to look back where you came from and say, I am not going back there. I won't go back to where I came from. I'm not going near the people I used to go to. I'm not going around the family that takes me down. I'm not going around the situations and influences that pull me down. But I'm going to live for God. It only happens when we surrender to him. I'm asking somebody today, would you begin to just talk to God and ask him to help you? Ask him for forgiveness. Ask him for repentance. Repent, turn from your ways. Turn from the lifestyle while you still have time. While we still can. There came a day it was too late for Lot. There came a day that he couldn't go back and undo what had happened. And for all of us, this is a space of time. This is a space in our lives that God is here and he's saying, I can change you. I can turn your life around. I can help you. But you got to be willing to let him. You got to cry out to him. You got to talk to him. Oh, somebody, would you do it right now? Somebody, would you just seek him and begin to seek after him today? God, we worship you. We need you, Jesus.
Is every head bowed and every eye is closed? Today, we have heard an opportunity. We've heard a call from God reaching for us, pulling us, and trying to draw us into a place of a reset, a place of a change. God called Abraham out of Ur, but it never happened until Abraham agreed and said, I will answer the call. And today God is reaching and calling for somebody here today. God's saying, I want to make a change. I want to change you. I want your life to be turned around, and I want to make it good. But it's up to you and I to answer the call. He's not going to force himself. He's not going to just come in and seek after us and try to grab us. That's not how it works. He says, here I am. If you want it, I've got it. And today, I want to invite each and every one of us up to this altar area. I wonder if there's somebody that'd come up and you could kneel down, these chairs, you could stand, whatever you feel. And I wonder if there's somebody that'll say, God, I'm ready to answer the call. He's here today. As they sing, I wonder if somebody would answer that call today. Come up and begin to repent. Begin to tell God you're sorry for everything you've ever done. And to tell him, I want that newness of life. Is there somebody that will come up and give your life to God?
Change me, Lord.
Change me, Lord. Don't let me stay the same. I want to be more like you.
You want it to be.